Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's not Joe. He's Will Kunkel. I am Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Will.
Hey, pasta, amigo.
You doing all right?
Yeah, buddy. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to talk some football today. I got some things to get off my chest.
I can tell. You were typing in all caps in the Google Doc. That always
what
startles
a weird
me.
Font, by the way.
Yeah, that was inherited from way back in the day. Ryan's behind the glass. He's filling in for Brian. Have you ever met Ryan? Ryan Morrow? We try to find him dates. He's,
really?
I don't think he's really excelling.
What's
there.
Your type?
So we try to help. Well, that's a good question.
Where do we start?
Short brunettes.
See, here's the issue, Ryan. You're being picky. You're not good looking enough to be picky.
I'm very good looking for you.
For me?
You're
I'm married
short
with
brunette.
Kids. Take it easy. I am a short brunette.
Well, you know what? Let's switch spots. It sounds like you already had a partner.
I'm Ryan's type. Ryan's you know he's growing up right before our eyes, though, because not every now and then. There was one time where he came in to do a show, and he was wearing a tank top. Just a tank top in a professional setting. We made fun
really?
Of him. Yeah, he hadn't worn a tank top since. He likes to show off the guns, I guess. He also now, for the first time, I saw him yesterday for the first time in a little while. He has shaven his face. He used to, be very, bearded and kind of, unprofessional, unkept even. And he shaved it. So, he doesn't wear. He's wearing sleeves now. He's shaving his face. I think he's growing up.
I can't get past the tank top.
Yeah.
You walked into a business, a place of business, and were like, I'm here for work?
Yeah.
And it didn't involve
in
a weed
defense,
whacker?
Brian called me at the gym to come in with no notice.
That is true.
So you wore tank top to the gym. We can talk about that,
yes.
too. We can also break down that decision. It's fine.
No.
What were you working at? Buys and tries? It's fine, man.
He didn't know what that meant.
Yeah. So more of an elliptical guy, I see.
He's going to the gym to look for short brunettes is what's happening. But lots to get to. We'll talk some Texans. They play a critical football game coming up on Sunday against the 49ers. They're favored in this football game.
By a point and a half, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that I ham. Yeah, no.
You hammered it?
Yeah.
You're already on the other side?
The other way.
You know what terrifies me about it? Because, the Texas defense is good. That's one thing that I think we're kind of, losing sight of and the first six games of the season, the first 7 weeks of the season, because the offense has been categorically bad in a lot of different ways, maybe even incompetent. It stinks because their defense is really good. Their defense could be one of the best in the NFL, but their offense is putrid.
I mean, we're going to look back on this at the end of the year. I genuinely believe that in 5 years, 10 years, you'll look back at what was wasted because not all these guys are going to stick around. Not everyone's going to be here for the entire run. And you're going to look back and be like, man, you remember in 2025, that defense we had. We had Danielle Hunter. We had Azeez Al-Shaair. We had Henry To'o, Will Anderson, Kamari Lassiter, Kalen Bullock, Derek Stingley Jr. You're going to look back and be like, and we went under 500, didn't make the playoffs, and it is the story of our lives.
Yep.
That's what it's going to be. This is the first team in NFL history to lead the league in scoring defense, they're allowing 14.7 points per game and have a losing record after seven games. They're always making making history in the worst way. And here we are again.
I mean, I do like it when my professional football team makes history, though. I think it's a silver lining, I think. No, it's people are like, oh, they're wasting the years of Stroud. I look at it differently. They're wasting years of what could be one of the top defenses in the NFL and might be one of the top defenses in the NFL, despite having bad offense, which leads to bad complementary football and all of that. But, like, this disjointed talk, identity talk, we'll get into that. There's some betting props, too, on these the next athlete to get busted by the FBI, which is hilarious. We'll talk about that a little bit later, too. Did you catch any Thursday night football yesterday? Vikings, Chargers. Chargers looking pretty good.
Yeah, I took the over on 3.5 field goals. That hit the last couple minutes. So that kept me in entrenched in that game, although I shouldn't have because that game sucked.
Yeah, wasn't the most pleasing of games. Like, there's two ways to look at it. Like, the Chargers, I don't think the Vikings are any good. So, like, I don't even want to say an impressive win, but I guess context matters. Like, you beat anybody in the NFL by 27 points, you're doing something right. Quirky and
Texans
weird.
Texans did it against the Titans, 26 points.
Yeah, but the Vikings are a playoff team last year. Like, last not the year. Same category. You know, I mean, they're 3-4. They were 3-3 going into that game.
They're clearly a worse team than last year.
No doubt.
Because of the quarterback position.
What do they do at quarterback?
In the offensive line. That's such a good... I mean, JJ has to be the guy. Because if JJ's not the guy, they don't have a guy.
Yeah.
And they spent a lot of picks on him.
They were blasting O'Connell for leaving Carson Wentz into the game. Like, oh, you shouldn't be getting him hit. You should be playing this Brosmer guy. Why? Carson Wentz is like an antiquated veteran that is only there to be the bridge until J.J. McCarthy comes back. Who cares that he's getting hit?
He's literally the pinata.
Yeah. Like, that's his job. that's like the job of a mop-up reliever. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. You got to go take some of the abuse there. I have a theory on J.J. McCarthy. It's a little out there. It's a little conspiracy theorist, tinfoil hat here. I'm not sure that he was ever hurt, J.J. McCarthy.
That is, go on.
Not sure he was ever hurt.
What do you think? Who is he, Terry Rozier?
Maybe he might be Anthony Richardson. might be Anthony Richardson. Like, the game that he got hurt, quote unquote, there's zero evidence of him being hurt. It was a high ankle sprain, so you're thinking, okay, well, if there is a high ankle sprain, there would be evidence of you injuring the ankle and, like, hobbling on it and limping on it. Whenever you have a quarterback who has a sprain that didn't land him on the IR, by the way, isn't that something where you usually see where you land, later in the week? Like, let's see where we land on Friday. Let's see what it looks like on
high ankle sprains, usually, like, a month, we know.
Right, which, I mean, didn't land on the IR, That's, though.
To your point.
Didn't land on the IR. So it's like, didn't have any evidence in the game, didn't get placed on the IR. They ruled him out on Monday. Like, before he even went to see the trainers, he was already ruled out. It's a really, really weird time to rule somebody out that you later did not place on the IR. Just saying.
I don't buy it.
Okay.
But I hear you.
He wasn't ready. They said, we're going to protect the kid, and we're going to make up an injury.
In that second half of the Bears game.
Yeah, the season opener.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
I mean, that was the last game he played, did he play week two?
Week two was the game he got injured. Hurt.
Yeah, whether he's ready or not, he's better than Carson Wentz.
I don't know.
I do. I watched last night. Despite my desires, I watched last night in order to see field goals.
I don't know. J.J. McCarthy might be terrible at football.
I don't know if he's the guy. Like, I don't disagree with – we can have that argument. I don't necessarily think he is, but he's better than what Carson Wentz is.
And they
screwed up that whole ordeal because Carson came in late. Like, they picked up Carson late, and they had options to get other guys, and they didn't do that, and they moved on from Sam Darnold.
See, I don't think that was the miss. I don't think Darnold was the miss because Darnold's making a good amount of money. You probably didn't want to pay Darnold after drafting a quarterback number 10 overall. The miss was a one-year contract on Daniel Jones.
See, I disagree, only because I don't know that there's a quarterback with this line that's actually going to be good because I think the line is worse than it was last year. Hilariously, they got rid of Ed Ingram, who was terrible there, and he's actually pretty good here, and the line here is terrible. I just think it's one of those situations where the quarterback, you have to have one of the three guys in the NFL that can overcome a bad offensive line. Now, granted, they have Kevin O'Connell, which the Texans don't have, so that's where they're missing. If the Texans had Kevin O'Connell, like, we probably have a competent offense, despite the line.
We had this conversation a few weeks ago, I guess. Who would you rather head coach your football team, Kevin O'Connell or D'Amico Ryans?
Kevin O'Connell.
Only a game better than D'Amico right now, or a win more.
I think you have to have an offensive mind on your team. Like, it's a must. Whether it's your head coach or a great OC, it doesn't matter. You have to. I think you can get away with not a brilliant mind defensively when it comes to scheme and schematics if you have great players. Like, I think a bad defensive coordinator, not a bad one, but a less than average defensive coordinator is going to have at least some mild success with the roster that the Texans have on defense.
Yeah.
I think you need to be able to scheme offensively. Like, it's an absolute must.
You saying league-wide or specifically in Houston?
Well, I think generally speaking, like, if you have the Texans roster anywhere on defense, they're going to have success.
Sure, sure.
Who's ever calling the plays. I think offensively, like, this defense is going to be a top 10 defense no matter who's coaching it. I firmly believe that.
I guess I'm asking you, like, just a generic roster. Like, if you're are you talking about it from, like, an owner of a random NFL team with a generic roster, or are you talking about this from the lens of the Houston Texans?
I'm generic, but I think specifically to the Texans,
yeah,
like, anybody can coach that defense, and that's the roster they have. That's the only reason I'm using that. Now, offensively, you can coach your guys to be better. Yeah. You can get guys open and make them look. Look what Kyle Shanahan has done for years. It doesn't matter who the running back is. It doesn't matter who the wide receivers are. Doesn't matter. They would like to have Trent Williams. That's the one guy I think he would pick to have healthy every single time. And it doesn't matter who his quarterback is. Mac Jones leads the NFL in passing yards per game. Number two, Brock Purdy. It's not because they're crazy good. It's because Kyle's that dude.
Yeah. No, I mostly agree, but you said that it could be an offensive coordinator. Like, it doesn't have to be your head
coach,
right?
Who's ever scheming. Yeah. No, I firmly believe that you have to have an offensive mind on your staff.
Just a staff.
Yes.
Because I do think that we overrate, like, X and O guys and scheme guys when it comes to the head coach position, and I think we underrate leadership. Because you see, like, a McDaniel in Miami, like, he's quirky. He's an X and O wizard. Like, he knows what he's doing on the offensive side, but he can't build a culture. He's a terrible leader, and nobody takes him seriously.
Which is why he's a perfect offensive coordinator for the Texans. That's the scary part, though, that the hire this offseason, if it comes to fruition, is obvious. And I don't trust that the Texans are going to make that hire. Because the obvious decision this past offseason, whether you got rid of Bobby or not, was to bring in a veteran to either coach him up or to bring in a veteran to be your OC.
Yeah.
Or to bring in Nick Haley, fine, but also bring in a veteran to coach him up. Because
Bill
then you're starting
there.
Over.
They got Bill Lazor. He's a long-time veteran.
I'm told that all the time.
Long-time veteran.
And Bobby still got fired. And he still can't get on track now.
Yeah, I agree with, like, 95% of what you're saying. But, like, to nitpick, I guess, I don't need the obvious hire. I don't need it to be obvious. I need it to be correct. I need it to be right. I need that. Like people are right now, it's the first time play caller, veteran play caller. I would lean veteran too. That's why, like, I'm not dying on this Taos Hill. But I'd rather it be right than veteran. You know what I mean?
1,000%. I couldn't agree more, which is why I didn't criticize the hiring of Nick Haley himself in the moment. Yeah. I have to at some point say D'Amico and Nick Caserio know what they're doing. At some point, I have to say, hey, what they're doing, they know more than I do. I readily admit that. So I have to say, if I agree that they know more.
Do you know what a window is? Do you know what a drafting by need is? Yeah,
that's coming back around. Oops. But jokes aside, if you're going backwards in resume, which you're doing with Nick Haley from Bobby Slowick. Bobby Slowick had a year of calling plays. Whether you liked it or not, he actually had 2 years. He had one good year, one bad year.
Going into this season.
Right. Nick Haley had 0 years, so you didn't know what you were getting. So the problem with that is, if you don't know what you're getting, then you have no way to pivot if you have no veteran in the building if it goes bad. And it has gone badly, very badly.
Did you think Haley was a – who do you think hired Haley?
I think it's a – I genuinely believe, like, as much as I rip Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans for what's going on right now and at least hold them accountable for the negatives, I do believe they have a good working relationship. I think they did. I don't know how long that's going to hold because I do believe the rubber's going to meet the road this offseason. And the McNairs are going to say, who's to blame?
Yeah.
You tell me. Someone point the finger because someone has to be accountable. And it's not going to be both of you. That's not the way this necessarily works. We're not going to clean house. Someone's staying. Y'all tell me who's at fault.
Yeah. It's been reported that D'Amico has the final say on his coaching staff, which is a report that I believe. But I also could see D'Amico, who I don't know how well networked he is. I don't know. I have no idea. He's only been two places.
Should you have to be well networked to get a guy to be your OC at a team that's competing for a Super Bowl?
No.
So I never buy that. There's 32 OC jobs in the world. Everyone wants it. All the good guys are going to come out of the woodwork to be like, I don't want to do it for the Panthers, the Browns. Like, I would love to go to a team that is on the cusp, and all I have to do is not suck.
Yeah, they might limit your hiring pool, though, which if you look at the hiring pool, it wasn't fantastic. I also have a theory.
But how is it going to – how is it? Because it's, if you put it on monster.com
– sure.
Like, everyone's going to – you're going to get resumes from everybody in the NFL.
But go look who they interviewed last year.
Well, that's their problem, sure. Not because they were limited in who to talk to.
So my theory is whenever they hired their first offensive coordinator, there was a little bit of a disagreement. Not that it's unhealthy. Like, everybody has disagreements. We're going to disagree the whole entire show. We're going to like each other at the end of it. Ryan, maybe not. But they probably had a healthy disagreement on who they wanted as the first OC. And it's like, okay, D'Amico, you pick your guy, your first year coach, you know, pick your guy that you're with there in San Fran, you shared an office with, we go with Bobby Slowick. And then you realize after the end of last year, okay, we want to fire the offensive coordinator, let's revert back to maybe my guy this time, Nick Caserio saying that. Let's strongly recommend Nick Haley. We have this interview process where we're bringing in a bunch of different guys that really don't have any chance of getting the job, and that we know that it's Nick Haley the entire way, which was a heavy recommendation from Nick Caserio. And D'Amico Ryans just didn't push back.
I think here's the one. I don't know who did or did not say something. I find it very hard to believe that everyone in that building that was involved in that conversation wasn't like, are we concerned that he's never called a play before?
That doesn't bother me.
It does, because this team isn't, this is not a learn on the job. Yes, if you catch it and you're right, like, hell yeah, you look like a damn genius.
Well, what if it's Shanahan? You know, like, what if it's baby Shanahan, who had never called a play before, but you get him?
He was an OC with the Falcons.
Right, no, but I'm saying, like, the new Kyle Shanahan. Because Kyle Shanahan, once upon a time, had to call plays for the first time in his professional career.
Right.
Same thing with McVay. Like, those guys had a first time. And if you catch one of those guys on their first time, you're fine.
One of those guys is two.
Well,
out of
no,
all the,
I'm no, just, no,
but
not
also,
true.
Also,
every,
th-
every
when
good
they're
OC
calling
had
play,
a first time.
When they're calling plays, they're not calling plays as a new hire on a team competing for a Super Bowl. Like, they're in a rebuild situation and it works out. Like, it's different. This was not every CEO is created equally.
Well, that's not true with Shanahan. Shanahan was with Kubiak and they were a winning team.
With the Falcons?
No, his first time calling plays was with the Texans under Kubiak.
So he did it before. In conjunction with Kubiak.
Kubiak gave him play calling control.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kubiak was there holding hands.
I mean, he was an offensive mind for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, very helpful. I'm not going to deny that.
But
Shanahan did call plays for the Texans.
The problem with hiring someone calling plays for the first time is, to your point, is that this isn't happening in a vacuum. So you have no one in-house that can really help him.
Yeah.
And your head coach is a defensive guy. So he's on an island. So you're not setting him up for success if it goes wrong. And it's going to go wrong at times, unless you just happen to roll the dice and you got exactly what you wanted and you clean house. Like, that's that. But is that really what we're trying to do, is roll the dice and catch lightning in a bottle on a team that just has to have an offense, be competent, go out and just make an easy, proper, like, run-of-the-mill hire, and you don't screw it up?
See, I think the bigger issue is that they can't identify good play-calling chops than it is
rookie. Well, that's
rookie.
Another thing.
Right, but I think that's the bigger thing than rookie versus an experienced play-caller. Like, a rookie doesn't...
But you don't even have to
identify.
But
your points are good in terms of, like, you know, it's not an infrastructure that is really suited to help a first-time OC. Totally fair.
But to your point, like, you're right. What was the point you just made?
It was a great one, yeah.
It was really a good one. It was a really good one.
That the bigger point is that they don't have the chops to hire a good play caller. It's really irrelevant whether it's a first-time or a veteran play caller.
So you can actually remove that from the equation if you don't hire a first-time play caller. You don't have to try to be the guy that can prognosticate for the future. You don't have to do that. You can go out there and be like, hey, we know what we have in guy X, Y, or Z. Let's just do that. Because it's smart versus I'm a damn genius. I'm telling you, this guy's going to be great. Like, I talked to guys around the league when Nick Haley was hired. They all agreed he had a good offensive mind. They all agreed that he knew the game really, really well. They all agreed he came from a great tree. And then I asked them all, how is he going to be as a play caller? Every single one of them said, we don't know.
Yeah.
Because you don't know.
You don't know.
And this job, this position as OC is not the Browns. It's not a learn on the job. If we catch fire, then hell yeah, we got our guy. this is a you've got to be able to be good at your job position right now because of the defense and because CJ's on his rookie deal. Like all of it, you're on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl if you don't suck, and they suck.
Yeah. They also don't have an identity. Will's been on that one this week. I think I'm going to push back here a little bit. 713-780-3776. Lots to get to today. Ryan's with us today. If you're a female that's short and brunette, might not even be a female. Who knows?
Send in your picks.
But Ryan's looking for things to do this weekend. Plenty to get to. 713-780-ESPN. We're on the Twitter at ESPN975. Will's at Will Kunkel 5. Are you the fifth? What's that there for?
Yeah, Will Kunkel, V. Yeah, the fifth.
You're the fifth?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Thank you.
That's a lot. I'm at Jeremy Branham.
Family's had a lot of
a lot of Will Kunkels. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston as well. You can find us there. Texans have no identity. Does that matter? 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe with Will filling in. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Are you in the market for a new vehicle? Maybe it's a pre-owned vehicle, just a new car. Well, listen up. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer you can trust. No one likes the dealership experience unless you go to Monument Chevrolet. They're trying to pull a fast one on you, upcharging you, every warranty known to man. That's not Monument Chevrolet. They're transparent with you, and they're not going to hassle you. It's fabulous. That's why Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years and have been a pillar in the community. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles. These families keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. Family feel there, friendly atmosphere, they hire great people, and they have a fantastic culture. This week's vehicle of the week, the Chevy Trax. Uncle Barney has a Trax. He was texting me yesterday during the live read saying, I can attest to the Trax. The Trax is a fantastic vehicle. And Uncle Barney's the wisest man I've ever known. So if it's good for Uncle Barney, it's good for you. But that Trax has modern, sporty style, spacious interior, ample standard tech features, all for a super low price. The Trax is an unbeatable deal. Come check it out at Monument Chevrolet. 225 and Beltway 8. Swing on by. Say hello. Get a fair deal, an easy deal, a transparent deal with no tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Check out their full inventory at MonumentChevrolet.com. MonumentChevrolet.com. Chevrolet together. Let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe's not working today. He's getting ready to go to Louisiana tomorrow. He said he could even want to work 12 days in a row.
Like, dude.
So soft. What's the most consecutive days you've worked? Probably quite a bit.
Whatever it is in March, typically, because that when I was with Fox, we would follow the Cougs all around the country, and then you kind of throw a little bit of football in prior to that, as well as whatever else is going on. So March is usually wild.
I think I've had a stretch of like 50 days in a row, which is pretty routine, I think.
I remember, and I don't know the numbers, so I'm not. But Pierre McGuire, remember him of hockey coverage? From NBC Sports, when he was around, he was doing his thing. He would cover a game every single night throughout the NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, excuse me. So he worked like something crazy all across the country every single night, live on air between the benches. But March is always the craziest time of year. Then you get like the baseball playoffs with the Astros, the Texans mixed in. And then kind of like Cougs basketball starting to make sense. So that's always crazy, too. And now the Rockets are good.
So we can all admit that 12 days is very,
12
very
is
light.
Like a sneeze. Yeah.
It's very, very light, the 12
Joe's
days.
Joe's the guy that sneezes and goes to see the doctor.
Yeah. I can't do the 12 days in a row. It's just way too much. It's way too much
work.
Please
take the kids for a day.
12 days. It might be the softest thing I've ever heard. I'm going to give them so much grief on Monday.
12 days is 2 5-day work weeks and then a weekend.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot. Joe.
It's a piece of cake. And I mean, he's not even, I mean, he's wearing shorts and a t-shirt, you know? Like, he's not lifting logs. He's not digging ditches. He's doing zero physical labor. Oh, 12 days is too much. What, is it tough on your body? You can't handle the physical grind of doing 3 hours of radio a day, Joe, for 12 consecutive days? My goodness,
how soft
is that?
You think he's listening, throwing stuff at the house right now?
I really hope so.
Furious.
It would make this way better if he is.
I can see him right now slamming the door, screaming, mother effing us.
Just out of fury. Would you work 12 days in a row, Ryan? You know, for a job that you really wanted, a profession that
you
really liked.
You can wear a tank top.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No, but if you wear the tank top, we're certainly going to make fun of you.
You wouldn't make it day two.
Worth it.
Let's set this up before we have our argument about it. If there is an argument, we'll see. Texans have no identity. So, Will, I thought you asked a very good question to D'Amico Ryans earlier this week. D'Amico, and I'll be the first one to admit, D'Amico was not ready for this question. And, like, just, I guess, being in a bunch of different speech classes and debate classes through my prep years, one of the first things they teach you is that when people start to, like, repeat the question and say your name, that they're searching for something to say. They're searching for an answer. So that's the first thing that stood out to me. But you asked D'Amico, do you have an identity on offense? And D'Amico eventually gets to something.
When you look at your offense, how do you define its identity? What is it to you?
The identity of our offense is, at the end of the day, to me, Will, identity of offensive football is move the ball. It doesn't matter. People want, oh, you're run first, pass first. It doesn't matter. Like, if you get 4 yards, you get 4 yards. It's just throwing the ball, passing the ball, and offense just has to be efficient. And that's what it has to be, right? When we play versus the Titans and versus the Ravens, what was our identity? We moved the football because we were efficient. We stayed on track. We stayed. It didn't matter if we ran the ball or we threw the ball. Short passes, it didn't matter. Like, that's what offensive football is about, right? And that's what.
All right. So what stood out to you whenever he gave you that answer?
So as I'm sitting there front row and he starts repeating what I said twice, I'm like, oh, no.
He's
like,
not ready.
Oh, no. Because I like D'Amico and I'm like, this is going to go badly. And it went badly because your identity is not that we move the football. Your identity is how you move the football. The goal is to move the football, and you use your identity to do so. Your identity is what you do when you need to gain those 4 yards, and everyone in the building knows you're going to do that, and you still have success doing it. No one knows what the Texans are going to do, and it's not because there's some creative geniuses on the offensive side, and they got everybody fooled every single time it's 3rd and 4. It's because they don't know what they're doing. And it's important to have an identity because then your players buy into that identity and you form your identity of your offense around that and you can lean into it. But if your players don't know what it is, we don't know what it is, the fans don't know what it is, no one knows who you are. That includes you. Hence, you don't have an answer as to what your identity is.
Okay. Those are good points. I think those are very good points. Here's CJ Stroud was asked about the identity a little bit later.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can say our identity is. I would say as a mindset thing, it's more physical, point A to point B, going as fast as you can, you know, relentless swarm, everything Coach talks about.
You went swarm.
Schematically, you know, I think, you know, we're finding our area there where, you know, we're leaning somewhat on, you know, the run game being RPOs where, you know, then we can go big personnel. So it's a little bit of everything. But I think we're still finding that as time goes on. And I think it could always adjust. But I think, you know, we're finding it as weeks go on.
Bro, it's week 8. Bro, it is week 8. We are 2 months in the season. This is more of a knock on D'Amico because he's the head coach. But he's never going to throw Nick under the bus and be like, I have no freaking clue. Like, I have no idea. And CJ's not going to do that either. Both these guys are kind of left out to dry by Nick Caley because Nick Caley hasn't created an identity. And the offensive line plays a role in that. But you should still have an identity, or you just have no talent and ability to create one.
See, I think it's more that, actually. Because I think that they've, like, Caley has talked about an identity. We want to be multiple. We want to be able to attack where the defenses are weak.
We want
Right. Sure. But I mean, it's tougher. Sure. It's easier said than done to be able to like impose your will on another defensive team. Because like, what would you want D'Amico to say there? Like, what if you were in charge of the Texans and you were head coach or your quarterback or your offensive coordinator? Like, how would you have answered that question?
First of all, if you have an identity, you answer it with confidence and you answer it kind of quickly because that's what you've built it all around. If I asked him that same question about the defense,
yeah,
you know exactly what you're going to get. We are a fast, physical, aware defense that talks to each other and swarms that football, and you're going to be sore by the end of the game. Offensively, we heard their answer. What you should have said, well, the problem is if you're just contriving an answer, then you're kind of lying because you don't have an identity and we all know it. But what a good answer would have been is that we are aggressive at the point of attack. We want to run the ball, and then off of the run, we want to play action, get CJ out of the pocket, and get guys open. Whether it's deep or whether it's out of the backfield, we don't really care how we have success in the passing game. We want to create our success early in the downs on the run game. That's your identity, yeah. If that's your identity.
And that's why I would argue that it's easier to say that than actually do it. Because I think Kaylee would have answered it very similar to that. I think Kaylee would have had a very similar answer to that. Cater to your team, run the ball, build off of that. And he said that like in the offseason. I remember like the introductory press conference, he was saying those things. So I think Kaylee knows the identity. I think that they really, really struggle to actually pull off the identity because I don't think that they're capable of doing it for a lot of reasons, whether it's personnel, whether it's bad protection, whether it's bad run blocking, whether it's Nick Kaylee's incompetent as an offensive coordinator.
See, I disagree. I think he knows what he would like the identity to be. That's one thing. It's another thing to have that identity and have that be your identity. Mm-hmm. I mean, why is Braxton Berrios getting 47% of the snaps? Why is Jalen Noll? Why is Dariam Gumbawale back in the game against the Seahawks? Like, if your identity is what it is, these players are not playing. Like, you're not setting themselves up.
I don't know if I would go snap count being like impacting identity.
Well, it is if the answer is putting our best players in position to have success. Yeah. The guy that was inactive for 7 weeks isn't the guy that's going to put you in position to have success in Braxton Berrios.
Right, right.
So then if your identity is like, hey, it doesn't really matter, our best players are out there. Well, that's not even happening.
Well, I mean, I would say that Kaylee thinks that Berrios gave him a better chance.
Maybe.
He's giving us his answer, right? Like, hey, why is Berrios playing more plays than Noll? Because he thinks that Berrios gives him more opportunity to find success offensively. We all disagree. I'm not pushing back at that.
Like, I just don't think you can be I'm so hesitant to always be like, this is what you should do, that's what you should do. Because like I said earlier, they know more football than we've forgotten, at least ideally. But I just don't think you can be this wrong about something and then just be trusted in who should be playing. Like, if he's so much better than Jalen, why was he inactive for 7 weeks?
Well, he's playing a different position, the adjuster. He's playing Christian Kirk's position.
So now that a guy is hurt, he's now skipping over three other guys in the depth chart because one guy's hurt?
I think you're overlooking one critical thing. Listen. Braxton Berrios' girlfriend has been starring on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
He's been distracted. He finally was able to focus on football. Make the main thing, as they say.
Is it hot in here?
It is a little bit.
Golly.
Yeah, it is a little warm in here. Ryan, can you do something about that? Can you do more than just push buttons and turn knobs, Ryan?
My elbow.
Can you lower the AC? Can you fix the text line that's not working right now? 7137. I don't know why I'm giving the number. It's not working. 713. I guess you could call. 713-780-3776. I thought what you said about the identities, like the good answer, like how you described what the identity would be. I'm going to have a counter response to that on the other side because I see some flaws in it, and it's not really your fault or you cosplaying the role of
definitely
OC and head coach. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe featuring Will on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Will Kunkel in for Joe George. He can't work 12 days in a row. 713-780-3776. So I like your idea. I like your identity idea. Like, this would be my identity. The thing that I would say, though, is that I think it's harder to do than just say. Like, you said you want to run the football. Well, cool. Like, you're not going to run the football against Seattle. Like, Seattle's defensive line was physically better than you. Like, you were never going to win that matchup. You're fighting out of three weight classes. So I think a lot of times we overrate identity and probably underrate execution and talent. This is the pushback that I have. I'm not saying that identity is, like, unimportant. I just think sometimes we value identity more than other tangible stuff that matters more.
Such as leadership?
Talent. Execution. Like, would you rather be Seattle's defensive line without identity, or would you rather be the Texans' offensive line with identity? Like, give me Seattle. Seattle's going to win that battle no matter how poor their identity is and how good your identity is.
Well, I think identity matters more offensively than defensively, because defense, you're reacting. Offense, you're imposing you're attempting to oppose your will a little bit more. Now, if you have a really good identity on defense, like the Texans do, you can then impose your will. Like, you can then play, you can force the offense a little bit out of their comfort zone. But I also agree with you entirely that culture and leadership matters a ton more than people think, which is why I'm not out on D'Amico, because he has created a great culture and is a good leader. It just stops on the defensive side of the ball. He's the head coach. And now we can get into this probably a little bit later in the show, but when the McNairs are going to inevitably get involved this offseason, they're going to get more involved than you would probably like your owners to. But I think it's actually warranted, because the general manager and head coach have failed to do what they're supposed to do from a hiring standpoint. But when they get involved, if they want this offense to be good, there's one of two things to do, and one of them includes D'Amico not being here next year.
Yeah, I don't disagree. But I still don't know why identity would matter more than, like, skill.
It doesn't. Well, it doesn't. I don't think identity necessarily matters more than skill, but you've got to have both if you want to be, like, good. Like,
I think good. Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, if you want to maximize what you have, it helps to have both. But
yes.
Which of the two would you rather have? Like, that's, I guess, my pushback to the whole, like, you know, the blowing up of identity this week. And look, D'Amico didn't have a good answer at all. Be the first one to tell you that. Neither did CJ, which is alarming that your head coach and your quarterback don't have a very good answer for that. But if you told me this offseason you could have one of those two things, you could have top five skill, or you could have top five identity, give me the skill.
Yeah, listen, you need to have both. Like, we're trying to parse these out as if, like, I'd rather have one or the other. You have to have both.
Sure.
But also, I'd rather have you have an identity from the standpoint of we are doing this, or we are wanting to do this, versus if you don't have one, you're just lost. Like, I think the downside, I think you, if you have talent and you don't have an identity, that's also bad too. Look at the 49ers, for instance. They've lost so many guys. You could say that their roster is less than the Texans. And yet, their identity makes them look better as a unit, because it doesn't matter. Like, we would all agree that C.J. Stroud on the 49ers, that offense is way better than it is, because C.J. is better than Mac Jones and Brock Purdy. I think he's at least equal. Like, so they have an identity, and it doesn't matter who's in there. They're going to do what they do well, and they have a guy that creates that. Now, it's his skill and Kyle Shanahan. It's his identity, and the guys are obviously good enough to execute the identity. You got to have the whole package to be good.
That was former Rocket Montrezl Harrell. I don't know what that means. The text line just got up and working. Thank you for that, whoever fixed it. 713-780-3776. Somebody said the bookie's a good show too. These texts are not right now. You know what's happening right now?
You're reading really old texts that are
populating. But they're populating. But they're sending us a time step of right now, because, like, none of this stuff makes any sense. They're all coming out.
They're
now
talking about shows. It's definitely a Lance.
Shout out to Jersey Mike. Go Cougs. What is that? Shout out Jersey Mike. What is up? I disagree is not what Branham likes to hear, Will. We agree with everything he says on this show. There you go. Everybody agrees with me. Actually, I hate that. I hate agreement. I hate, yeah, you're right. I hate it. I like conversation. I like talking about, like, that's my least favorite thing. Like, if you're having a drink with somebody, I want to talk to somebody who views things differently than I do.
I 100% agree.
Because that is the best conversation.
And that means I know where you lean politically, if that's how you think.
Yeah. I don't think anybody knows where I lean politically, though. Because like, I have people... Now. No, I don't think so.
No, there are some people that hate conversation.
People...
Just saying.
Yeah, I think you took it in a way that I didn't mean it.
Right, but I'm still right.
People blame me for being too liberal and too Republican.
That means I've been
roasted on both sides of the aisle, which is exactly where I want to be. All right, 713-780-3776. Did you hear the word disjointed this week? Some areas that the Houston Texans have been disjointed. DeMeco said that they were disjointed. They're not teaching them things. I noticed... the whole Derek Stingley, D'Amico Ryans thing is blowing up. We're going to have a conversation about that. But I also noted a little bit of a disagreement just through the media. Not that they're like mad at each other. Between D'Amico and CJ Stroud that happened over the weekend as well. 713-780-ESPN. It's Jeremy and Will on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, I got to tell you about the greatness, and I mean greatness, that is Underdog. Underdog is the absolute best. I love me some Underdog. I'm an Underdog all the time. You know how you get that Sunday usage report on your iPhone, which apps you've been using the most? Mine are always Underdog because I love Underdog. Whether I'm tracking my 500 best ball drafts that I did, or I'm making some picks on my favorite teams and my favorite players. You got a little San Francisco and Houston coming up on Sunday. Maybe you want to get some picks in for that. I'm not mad at you for it. Playing Underdog is so easy. Pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on a bunch of different stats. You can pick teams on Underdog now, too. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. Christian McCaffrey, higher or lower, 66.5 rushing yards. What's the Texans defense going to do to him? C.J. Stroud, 200.5 passing yards. You like the higher or lower there? Mac Jones, one of the best in the NFL, yards per game. His passing yards, 225.5, higher or lower there. Do you know ball? Well, go prove it on Underdog. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, KILLERB. Underdog, make picks and win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play/and-returns_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Will's filling in for Joe. He's Will. I'm Jeremy. Getting bombarded with texts now because they're all filing in. You guys wear basketball shorts and hats every day to work. LOL. Hashtag professionalism. Yeah, but we have standards, man. You got to at least have some sleeves. Some sleeves. I don't wear basketball shorts either. I've never worn basketball shorts to work.
Who is the worst? Old school baseball writers or radio people?
Oh, radio people.
Because baseball had to institute a dress code because people were so sloppy.
See, I never was really in a press box until that rule was instituted.
Yeah, same.
So I
was also mature enough to.
But I imagine they weren't wearing gym shorts.
There were some.
Really?
For sure. The overweight newspaper writer curmudgeon guy wasn't exactly, you know, putting on the suit every day for 162.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it was wild. You still see some of it and you're like, dude, what are we doing
here? My dad gets mad at me whenever I don't wear a polo.
Yeah, my mom, I'm kicking it with Kunkel, I'll have a hat on sometimes because I just didn't have my hair ready to go. And she'll be like, can I ask you a question? Why do you have your hat on backwards? It's not part of who you are.
So she's like Colin Cowherd.
Yeah,
who doesn't like his quarterbacks wearing backward hats? So identity is really just strengths. What does the Texans offense do extremely well? I think that's what we were both kind of saying, though.
Yes, it is your strengths. Obviously, your identity, you lean into your strengths to have success.
But my argument would be I'm not sure they're capable of having strengths.
Yeah.
Which makes it impossible to have an identity.
I don't, and that's obviously another conversation. And that goes into the offseason. That goes to D'Amico and Nick Caserio and their ability to build a roster. Especially on the offensive side of the ball. All of this really is part of the offensive side of the ball. Although, I would argue we're starting to see some discrepancies and chinks in the armor and cracks, if you will, on the defensive side of the ball too. And I had a conversation with Lakin Tomlinson this week that says there's some issues there. Like, there's a communication issue of what your why is. And players need to know what their why is. They may not need to be in on every decision and agree with it, but they need to know why they're doing something in order to buy in. And I think that's everything in life.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. We're going to hear from some of those players here in a little bit. Get to the drama that's going on right now between the Texans, which is starting to add up. Like, you can't deny that. Texans' general identity isn't the problem. The specific problem is Kaylee having a playbook where the wide receiver routes are either 30-yard go routes or 2-yard screen passes. Nothing is ever in the soft spots between the linebackers and safety, 7 to 15 yards down the field. Yeah, I agree. I think he's incompetent. I've been trying to, like, not say that. Not that I'm happy with Kaylee, but I've been trying not to say that. But the way that they handled the clock when they were down by two possessions prior to the two-minute warning was embarrassing. I went back and there were six different plays where they could have said I was conservative and I was very, like, nice to them. They could have easily saved a minute of game time prior to scoring. There was one play specifically where they got the playoff with 1 second on the play clock. And, like, you got to go, man. Like, there's 4 minutes to play. You're down by two possessions. You got to go. And there were six different instances where it's like you could have went way faster than that, where they could have easily saved 10 seconds an instance. There you go. 10 times 6, 60 seconds, an additional minute. And that was being conservative. They probably could have saved up to a minute and a half, minute 45.
This is where my issues lie with the offense. And people are on the YouTube chat right now because I'm going back and forth with them. And they're because like, oh, no, Will, you're a CJ apologist. No, I'm not a CJ apologist. He has not been very good this year. I think there's been moments where he's shown that he can overcome some bad. He's just having to overcome too much bad. And so to your point, my issue with the offense this year is they're not prepared. And that starts with Nick Kaley. When a good team walks into a building, they know exactly how they're going to attack a defense. They know exactly what they're going to do. And if they have success doing that, they're going to win. It seems with the Texans, it's a little different of a plan. Just to try something new every week. And they kind of close their eyes and be like, man, I really hope this works. And then the defense better kick some ass and drag us across that finish line. It seems like that's the identity of this team of hope, wish, pray. Let's hope it happens this week. Like, there's no clear attack. And so CJ's left out to dry. The receivers, the running backs, whatever it might be, they're all failed before they even hit the field.
Yeah, I just don't think they're any good. The Texans' identity is a really bad offense and a really good defense. Yeah, it's like the media perspective of them. Like, if you're an outsider looking in on the Texans, that's certainly their identity of, like, what we would say. Bad offense, good defense. We'll just talking more from, like, a game plan point of view. Can't identity be a negative also? Like, the Texans' offensive line isn't good as the identity? I think that's yes. The answer is yes to that. But I think that's more of a narrative than, like, their identity and what they want to do.
Identity is like, how do you want to achieve your goal? That's your identity. Your identity isn't that you have an bad offensive line and that's how you're going to achieve your goal. Obviously, that doesn't make any sense. Your identity is how you move the ball. So to D'Amico's point, when I asked him what your identity is, it's that we move the ball. First of all, no, you don't. Second of all, that's your goal. The identity is how you achieve your goal. I don't care how you do it. You could be the Bengals. You could be pass first. Throw it all over the yard. And then if you get Chase Brown going, then you're a really good offense because you have two facets. It doesn't matter if you're run first, if you're pass first, if you're throw deep over the middle, if you're inside the tackles, outside the tackles, play action, RPO. It doesn't matter what the identity is. You just need to know what you go to, what you lean on when you need it most. That's it.
Could it change week by week? Like, if I'm playing chess playing chess against you and I'm playing chess against Ryan, I'm going to have two different game plans. I'm going to have two different identities.
Then yes. Yes, it could. Like the Colts right now, their identity is run first, get Daniel Jones out of the pocket, let him be pretty damn good right now because you got a great offensive line. Now, if that doesn't work, then can you lean on Daniel Jones? They've shown that that can happen as well. So, yeah, it can change, but you also have to have the ability to change. The Texans don't even have an identity, let alone a game plan that is successful week in and week out, let alone a counterpunch. That's my issue with not having a veteran play caller in the building, is you don't have the ability to counterpunch. We saw it last year, and we see it this year as well.
713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Wayne, you're in with Jeremy and Will. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, my thing is, when CJ was a rookie and we had Floyd, okay, we had our little, you know, uphill climb at times. And then the second year, you know, we wouldn't let CJ change the state of the mind. So my thing is, with Nick Cayley, like, you're giving him the reins to call his own plays or change the plays, but what plays would you call in that he can change to? That can, like, you know, be an answer to this blitz or something like that, because it's like when he changed the play or if he don't change the play, it's not working. I don't know if Kaylee don't know how to game plan. I don't know if he's just, you know, like, some find something, paste this hill, play, okay, we're going to try to run this hill. He looks lost.
Yeah.
In all aspects, he looks lost. I know the line is not good. You know, but you gotta make up for it. Like, roll CJ out the pocket. If you just roll CJ out the pocket, we was having success. If you just play drop back, the protection breaks down. You gotta move CJ, move the pocket. So I sit back and listen, guys.
So I agree entirely. And that's what's so frustrating is that, no disrespect to you, but to me too, if you and I can notice that, how the hell can't anyone in the building notice it? And they talk about it after the game. They'll say, like, yeah, we had success moving the pocket. Well, why'd you do it three times then? Like, why not a little bit more? I don't understand that. It's almost like they came into the season with a goal of what they want it to be, and they're trying so hard to achieve it, they can't achieve it, and now they can't do anything. And then...
See, my argument with that would be because they can't do anything.
Because they can't do anything. Yes. You're right, to your point. And then D'Amico has the gall to say, what was our identity against the Titans and Ravens? We did whatever we wanted.
Yeah,
but that's not because you imposed your will on them and you're that good. That's how bad their defense was. The identity question, you impose your will. You do what you do best. You could do anything against the Ravens. They're historically bad. That's why you had great success. Not because you were great, but because they allowed you to do anything.
Yeah, you can't point to those games as like, look at us. Yeah. We're really good. Also, identity equals strength. What is the strength of the Texans offense?
Dude, there's none. There is no strength.
I don't think there's a strength.
But I think there's the problem with me isn't that there isn't a strength as much as there seems to be so much left on the table of what they're not trying. And when they do have success, they don't do it enough. Why is Woody Marks not getting the ball out of the backfield more? Why is Woody Marks not getting more snaps and plays than Nick Chubb? Why is Braxton Berrios getting more snaps than Jalen Noll? Like, find your identity with your best players in the best situations. That's what everyone said during OTAs and minicamp. That's what everyone said Nick Cayley was so good at, was putting guys in position to have success. That's what everyone was so excited about. And it flew in the face of how they spoke about Bobby. But now it's the same. No one's in position. No, the right guys aren't even on the field. I don't get it.
I'll make it easy all up for Caserio. He's done some good, but he's gone as far as he can. Time to hand off the baton, go with someone else. Let's get to the disjointedness. Hear from D'Amico about the being disjointed. I think disagreement between D'Amico and Stroud, Lincoln Tomlinson with some interesting things that he said in the locker room, and then this whole Stingley D'Amico thing. You want to get hands on JSN, but we were never in press coverage. What about that? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe featuring Will on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.